Everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
I can do.
Daryl Loomis.
Howdy, howdy.
And that is us. The three of us will entertain you, hopefully, for X amount of time and send you into a weekend where you will do X or possibly Y. And that is the extent of the algebra that I have retained from my high school, gentlemen. What do you think?
That's pretty good.
This is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Pretty good. I just hope that it's I'm less confused about what's going on than last week.
Oh yeah, that's true. It was very confusing. Now I'm just wondering. So just to be clear, we're not going to talk about Third Rock from the Sun then.
If you want to.
I don't think I really want to.
Okay, then no.
I have nothing to add of substance. So let's just kind of get into things here, Mac. Why don't you kick us off with anything?
This weekend is the opening of Judge Dredd. Well, actually, it's just Dredd, isn't
yes.
it? Yeah.
Right.
So what do we think of this movie? What do we – I mean, it hasn't opened yet, but
– That's right. So hopefully we're going to – we'll be able to report on it next week. But I will say the trailers have piqued my interest, mainly because it looks like The Raid. So I like The Raid. So plus I've heard good word of mouth from it. And it can't possibly be worse than the Stallone Rob Schneider.
Yeah, that's basically where I come from on it. Is that I hope it's better than that. I'll hold out to hear.
I mean, here's the thing about the Judge Dredd character, though, is that it's supposed to be really like satirical. He's this big tough guy cop, and he's blowing away bad guys, and that's supposed to be awesome. But there's this undercurrent of satire with the character. Where he's literally judge, jury, and executioner all in one. So he sees you on the street, he judges you immediately, sends you to death right then and there, blows your brains out. Like the common man has no chance at a fair trial.
Yeah, so what is the thing? Yeah, so could you give me a quick rundown of the Judge Dredd mythology?
That's pretty much it.
Okay, all right.
It's the future.
Future.
And cops and judges have been merged into the same thing. So he passes sentence on you right there on the street, right when he sees you committing the crime. And blows your head off.
All right.
Because he gives you the death sentence and then you're dead. It's that quick. And the satire element is that, the common man, in this horrible dystopian future just doesn't have a chance at a fair trial.
I don't even remember the Judge Dredd, the first movie, at all. What was that? What was it about? I don't remember. I don't remember the bad guy.
Well, everything I just described, it was not in the Stallone.
Okay, all right.
And that's why I'm a little leery about this new one as well.
All right.
The Stallone movie, it was basically that, it's the future, he's a tough guy cop, but he's more Stallone. He's basically Stallone. I think he learned that he was cloned and that the villain was his long lost, brother who grew up alongside him in the cloning lab, something like that.
Man, none of that means anything to me. I can't remember any of it. Oh,
that was the gist of the plot. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a lost relic in my viewing.
The mid part of the movie when he was banished from the city, had to go out into the wilderness where he fought those hillbilly guys with their big clunky robot. But then he made his way back into the city to go prove his name.
What was the name? Is it Century City? Is that the name of the city?
I don't know. That sounds right, but I'm not sure.
All right, that's what I've got. That's all I got. So, all right. So then, where's the geek barometer of anticipation hovering for you with this movie?
I don't know. I guess we were talking before. I was hoping, before the show, we were talking about a little, and we said, well, I guess best I'm hoping for is that maybe it'll be a pleasant surprise. But I'm a little leery.
All right. Let's all see. Anything else, Mac?
I guess that's about it.
How's Castle treating you? Has it started yet, the season?
No, season premiere, so it's Monday. Looking forward to it. We'll get into Castle in a little bit. We talked before about the Brattle Theater in Cambridge. It's one of my favorite movie theaters. They showed Nausicaa, Valley of the Wind, which is an early Miyazaki film.
Yeah.
And I'd actually never seen it. So even though I said that I was done with anime, no more anime, I said. I went and saw Nausicaa for the first time, and it was really good. I mean, it's Miyazaki. His stuff is top of the line. I can't believe this was his first movie because it's directed with real skill and just real confidence. And a really cool hero kind of seeks a nonviolent solution most of the time, but does so in such a way that it's still really exciting and awesome. So really good movie. I'm really glad I got to see it on the big screen.
All right, excellent. Daryl.
Well, let's see. On a comics note, and I don't have a lot of comics notes through my history, but on a comics note, I started rereading From Hell, the old Alan Moore comic, which is interesting to go back and reread. I'm about, I don't know, about a quarter or a third of the way through it. It's a lot more text than I remember.
Yes.
The first time that I read it. Yeah, so that's fun and well written. Looking forward to the Parks and Rec premiere that will happen yesterday.
Yeah, yes. That's good, yes.
Looking forward to seeing where they go with this.
Man, I've got to say, I'm approaching it with trepidation. I have to say, all my Facebook marketing, because I'm a fan of the page, it's all been about kind of the epic love story between Ben and Leslie.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem if that's where they go. But they've done well with love stories in the past.
Yeah.
The April and, oh, God, what's his name?
Andy,
thanks. I thought they handled that with good skill.
But see, I mean, you can't say Tom and Anne was believable, you know?
No, but okay. Tom's not really believable anywhere.
That's true.
It remains to be seen. I kind of agree with you that the last season wasn't as strong as at least the previous season.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought there were some really strong moments in it. So,
oh, sure. Absolutely.
So we'll see. I like, adding in Detlef Schrempf.
That's excellent. I wonder if we'll get some more John Ralphio. I think he was a missing ingredient. He was doing his own Showtime show or something. But
oh, I didn't realize that. But, yeah, he was missing from the
A little bit
the
of John Ralphio
season.
Goes a long way.
Yeah, well, but it was, it had its moments, and I figure it's still going to have its moments, if nothing else, Ron Swanson.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and finally, the last thing I watched, I don't know if you guys have heard of it yet, it's making rounds in horror circles. It's an anthology called VHS.
I've heard a lot about that as well.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer. It looks really intriguing.
It could have been.
Oh, disappointment. Ah.
Huge disappointment.
Do tell, because I've been hearing it hyped.
I'm confused about the hype of it, and I'm confused about how they thought that they could make people spend $10 on it, and then make them spend $10 on a movie they've basically never heard of again. The anthologies are always going to be a mixed bag. Especially horror anthologies, even the best Creepshow and stuff like that. I can't think of a second one off the top of my head that's good.
Twilight Zone the movie.
Twilight Zone the movie is good.
Twilight Zone the movie.
Dark Side. Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah. Thank you guys. It's, they're there. Then there's
Nightmares with Emilio Estevez. I think he's gone over that before.
And Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat.
Oh, yeah.
That's not bad. A couple years ago. That's not bad.
It's a nasty little movie.
But there's always going to be a piece or two in there that doesn't make sense or doesn't fit the theme or, whatever goes on. And for underground horror directors, I basically respect all these guys, at least the ones I've seen work from four of the seven, I guess. Including Ty West, who made House of the Devil and The Innkeepers, both of which I thought were fantastic. His turned out to be the most pointless entry of all six. And that
which
was really
was
disappointing.
I'm familiar with the moments.
I don't remember what it's called, but it's the segment about the vacation video.
Okay, yeah. Right.
And it's a vacation video, so it's not very exciting, except for these, two or three moments that essentially don't work very well and make it horror. But other than that, it's basically your average everyday vacation movie, and you don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch your vacation films. Huh. They might have been the most exciting movie in the world, exciting time in the world, but I don't want to watch your vacation film. But there were a couple that worked really well for me. The one about the college age douchebags filming their sexual escapades on a eyeglass camera. That was fun because of how the reveal worked out. And then one that worked really well for me was the Skype call.
Okay, yeah.
Horror movie. That had some really weird stuff in it, and I appreciated that. But for the most part, I just can't imagine a large public sitting down to spend $10 on this movie. You know, it's being well received, but I don't understand why. And
is it scary? Even would you call it scary?
No, I'd call it annoying for the most part. It's one of them's really silly. One of them's really boring. One of them just doesn't make any sense, and it's the one that I think's getting the most.
I think you just described our Friday filibuster lineup, by the way.
There you go.
Wow! So you are definitely let down. Yeah, I have heard
definitely
lots of
let down. Yeah. I had heard good things and wanted it to be good. By the third story, I was just plainly annoyed. Unfortunately, is unfortunate.
Well, on the other side, because Magnolia released that, we watched another Magnolia movie, Goon. Anyone see that? With Sean William Scott?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the hockey movie.
I remember reading about that.
Yeah, it's on Netflix and it's on Amazon Prime. It's free. But highly recommend it. Very funny. Very funny. Basically, Sean William Scott plays this. He's a dope, but he's like a nice guy. He's like the nicest guy, but he's a complete dope, and he's an excellent fighter. And he can take huge amounts of punishment. So he gets recruited by his hack local hockey team and then gets promoted to a farm team just as their enforcer. So it's funny. It's actually, I don't know, I'm going to say moving, but it's got some nice emotion attached to it as well. And it's pretty gory as well. There's maybe even gorier than VHS. There's a scene where he's forced to play goal to keep a puck out in the last couple seconds of the game. And like he takes a puck in the face. And then he falls down, and the puck's right in front of his face, and everyone's trying to whack at it with a stick, so they just pound on his face with a hockey stick. So, yeah. It sounds gruesome, and it kind of is, but it's played for laughs. But anyway, funny movie. Highly recommend it, actually. I think you'll enjoy it. So that's all I've got. So let's go back around the circle. Stuff we've got coming out for the site. Mac.
Yep, I finished up my review of season 4 of Castle. I've been talking about Castle a lot lately, but I guess it's that time of year. Season 4 is really great. A lot of really great episodes. This is the year they did a lot of theme episodes, which, again, I was a little leery on, but they really pulled them off. They did them in clever ways that was, they were able to sort of, you know, do something different, but still, you know, not be so outlandish that it ruins the show or anything. So, you know, there's like a film noir episode, and there's a superhero episode, and there's a zombie episode, and they're able to do all these really just crazy outlandish stuff, but, you know, without going too far. And so without losing what the show is about. And aside from that, just, you know, all the usual stuff that I really enjoy about the show, just the whip smart dialogue, you know, just one great line after another and really likable characters. And it's just a really fun show. So definitely, if I haven't convinced anybody yet to check out the show, now's a good time.
All right. Very good. Daryl?
Nothing that interesting to report. I've got a couple of Mario Bava movies, you know, old Italian horror stuff, which I'm a big fan of. And a cruddy British sex comedy from the 70s.
What's that called?
The Au Pair Girls. Mm. you know, it's got some stars from the old cannibal movies that I enjoy in it and stuff like that. So, you know, it's got some appeal, but it's all pretty lame.
Okay.
Nothing that great on my end.
So you do, so cannibal movies, is that what you said? You enjoy cannibal movies?
Yes, I've been known to enjoy a cannibal movie or two.
Okay, favorite cannibal movie of all time?
Cannibal Holocaust.
Okay. Now that is a movie that I don't think I can ever bring myself to see because just reading about it is enough, I think. Does that meet the hype or not?
It does. I think it's a fantastic movie, really. The violence doesn't meet the hype, but it's since we're speaking of that and, you know, VHS stuff, it's basically the predecessor to first-person horror movies.
That's found footage, right?
Yeah, it's all found footage, and, well, it's about two-thirds found footage. The premise is that a filmmaker hires these idiots to go into South America to record some stuff, and then has to eat a person to get the footage back.
Oh, okay.
After they disappear, and then he brings it back to New York and cuts it together, and that's what we see.
Gotcha. Huh?
It's a good movie, and it's not something I'd recommend for family night, but
I've seen enough screenshots that I'm like, maybe that's not going to make it back.
That's certainly true, but it's got its value. It really does, and it does meet the hype.
Okay, all right, good. Let's see. Well, might as well just talk a little bit about Karate Robo Zabrigor, which is that exceeded my expectations.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. So this is a movie from the studio Sushi Typhoon that specializes in all manner of Japanese weirdness, and it is about a secret policeman named Damon who rides a motorcycle that transforms into a karate robot. And it has his twin brother's DNA in it. See, when the scientist who created Karate Robo Zabrigor, he was a father to these two kids, and unfortunately, Damon's brother passed away from, and this is not making it up, man breast milk poisoning. There is a scene where the scientist is breastfeeding his brother, and apparently he passes away, but he uses the DNA. In the robot, and they go about and they fight three bikini-clad women in football helmets that have dragons that come out of their breasts and butt. They fight a cyborg organization that is abducting and sucking out the DNA from all government officials, and the DNA is used to build the internal organs of their giant cyborg robot. That's like the master plan. And it really just kind of gets weirder after that. So, but it is a comedy. It's meant to be a comedy, and it's generally funny. Like there's different chapters, and each chapter has a title. And chapter two is titled "Hang in There, Damon: Adrift on the Sea of Life." that alone had me laugh out loud.
Yeah, fair enough. So. That sounds as ridiculous. I hope it was as ridiculous as it sounds.
It is. Oh yeah, it's definitely yes. It is more than ridiculous. So that is my hot recommendation for this week, Karate Robo Zabrigor. So all right, I'm not going to clip that. So let's move on, Mac.
Sure. We're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. Then we're going to scroll down to the cover art gallery for September 25th, and just talk about whatever's on the list.
So there's a couple big ones this week.
Right.
Avengers obviously coming out.
Oh. Yeah, looking forward to that.
And Batman, obviously.
Yeah, that would be the new animated.
The new animated? Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes more sense then.
That's the based on the classic Frank Miller graphic novel, Dark Knight Returns.
That's right.
Yes. Which is it's part one. They're splitting it up into two movies.
It looks like Peter Weller is the voice of Batman.
Right, because this is the older, near-retirement Batman.
That's a pretty dope cover art, I have to say, actually.
Yeah. It's pretty ambitious for them to be attempting an adaptation of this, because the graphic novel is kind of out there.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
That's a whole lot of James Bond as well. So another Bond set, like the 50th released.
All 22 movies.
That's a lot. That is a lot. Let's see. From a personal love standpoint, Eating Raoul is finally going to get a proper DVD release. It got one DVD release and it was awful a few years ago, and now it's coming out on Criterion. It's going to finally look
Criterion?
Good.
Criterion? Wow.
Yeah. I've been looking forward to this. It is one of the funniest movies that I've ever seen. Speaking of cannibal type.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's Eating Raoul is not a joke, or I guess it is a joke, but you know what I mean.
It lives up to the title.
Yes, it certainly does. Let's see, Portlandia, the show I hate maybe more than anything on television.
Yeah, you do. I do remember that you hating that
deeply.
Why do you hate it so much?
I come from the area, and I've seen what they're talking about, and it's not that it's not true. It's that it's so condescending.
Gotcha.
And so holier than thou, as though the people who are making the show aren't the same level of hipster that the people they're making fun of in Portland are. It just drives me crazy. If there's one thing my brother and I agree most on, it's hating Portlandia.
So we've got American Horror Story. The first season was kind of a big deal around this time last year.
I wanted to like that show. I really wanted to like that show.
Is that Ryan Murphy? It's Ryan Murphy, right? Is that who it is?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Maybe not. The guy does Glee, right?
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah, from the makers of Glee. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
It started out really strong, but it kind of got goofier and goofier as it went along.
Yeah.
And so it's like... You know, they played this guessing game over which characters are and aren't ghosts. And by the time you got to the last episode, it was like the entire city of Los Angeles was made up of just ghosts. It got kind of ridiculous.
I do wonder if, this gun training with the non-aggression principle, does that dude look like, those guys look like they're non-aggressive? It's right there next to, underneath the Golden Winter Dog movie.
They look pretty serene to me.
Oh yeah, they look pretty, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the same guy though.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I can't, the other guy's got, yeah, the top one, his face is obscured by the giant rifle, so.
The giant serene rifle.
Along similar lines there, we have another K-pop DVD. K-pop and Krav Maga.
Yeah, we're fans of that stuff.
This is Defense Against Knife Attacks.
Excellent.
That'll come in very handy.
We're big fans on the Friday Filibuster of Krav Maga.
And there's a Lone Wolf and Cub, I guess it's the complete, it's all six movies in one collection on Blu-ray, so that's fun.
These are the so-called baby cart movies, correct?
Yeah, and really that's, like, because I'm not the biggest comics guy in the world, but by far the best comic book experience I've ever had is reading Lone Wolf and Cub. And the movies are fun and bloody, and get it pretty much right.
How about FDR, American Badass? How's that in a wheelchair with automatic weapons on it? How's that grab you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All narrated and scored by Kid Rock.
Well, I gotta say, there's a lot here, but nothing really is grabbing me. So,
there's Zombie, which I talked about last week.
Oh, that's
it has
true.
A zombie versus shark fight. So
that is excellent. Yeah,
and I recently reviewed this weird noir collection. So.
The six weird. Yeah, okay, ones. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, Vampire Dog. Whoa, what is going on there?
Sounds like a Dave Johnson review.
We're coming to a. Yeah, I guess I better prepare for that now.
You need to get the Vampire Dog and the Santa Buddies together in one movie.
That's right.
Yeah, then they'll become these Satan buddies. Okay, it really sweeps on the news of the week. Mac, go ahead.
The Thick of It.
That's good. That is the winner. All right, Daryl.
I got to find another one now.
No, it's not a ton here.
I'm going to go with Goose.
I guess that just leaves me with New Tricks.
There's also Golden Winter.
Golden Winter? I do like Golden Winter. That's pretty good.
My backup was going to be Bits.
Bits. Golden Winter definitely does sound like a euphemism for a sex act, for sure. Okay, and now it's final phase of our brisk episode tonight. Ambush topics. You know this works. So, Daryl, why don't you kick us off?
I was thinking, because I'm recently finishing up another, I don't know how many viewing of Community, was thinking about songs in shows or movies that aren't a musical. So, what's your favorite?
Good. So, a favorite song?
Yeah, song, you know, song from a movie or a show in something that's, you know, where it's out of place.
Gotcha. I'm trying to think of a musical. I'm trying to think, would the Zack Attack songs be considered out of place in Saved by the Bell?
I think Zack Attack would be fine.
Actually, I'm going to take it one step further. It is Saved by the Bell, but it is definitely the weird, pointless music video by the girls band Hot Sunday.
Nice.
The song "Go For It," put your mind on it. Go for it. You gotta break a sweat. Now, yeah, give that a listen to. So yeah, that's just this video plunked right in the middle. Fantastic. It was Jesse's the infamous caffeine pill episode, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. Lord knows those caffeine pills drive you. Yeah,
that's right. So just to recap that episode, by the way, these three girls had a shot at like legitimate musical superstardom. An agent was there, a talent scout was watching them, ready to sign them, and they lost their opportunity because Jesse got hooked on caffeine pills studying for a test, like a math test. So just to recap what happened there.
Wasn't the Rather pressures than- of fame, was it? It was a math test?
No, it was a math test. No, it was nothing to do with fame. Yeah, nothing to do with that stuff. It was like a midterm.
Yeah, just get addicted to coffee and you're okay. You got to have no-dos. Take the extra step.
See, because they wanted to do an anti-drug episode, but they couldn't get any kids hooked on, like, meth, right? So you had to. I mean, even marijuana. They had a marijuana episode, but, I mean, you had to think, what's the most innocuous drug you can get hooked on? So that's where they ended up on caffeine pills.
Well, that sounds like Saved by the Bell to me.
That is not really pushing the envelope, I suppose.
Let's see. Musical number. I'm not sure this counts or not because they don't quite get to the point where they start singing, but Gremlins 2, right before sundown when all the gremlins are about to leave the big high-rise and go out into the city.
They start spreading the news, whatever that song. They sing that.
Yeah, they start singing it, right, and then the female gremlin comes out, and they kind of ooh and aah at her, and that's about as far as it gets.
I think that works, because there's that whole thing where, like, the gremlins form the puzzle with her face on it. Remember that?
Yes, that's right. And then the one part opens, and she pops out.
She pops out. I mean, yeah.
It's all the build-up to the musical number, but then the musical number itself doesn't happen. It's all the build-up, but.
Yeah, there's so many out of control things in Gremlins 2. I think it totally counts. They do break the film in the center of it.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, is a pro wrestler getting? Isn't a pro wrestler involved in that?
It's Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan at least does some narration for it.
My favorite is, but we could do a whole show just like Gremlins 2. My favorite is when the Bat Gremlin flies out of the building and leaves the perfect Batman symbol behind.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, or then he turns into the stone gargoyle, which is great. so much insanity in that movie. All right.
Okay, so obviously I probably have already revealed my where my choice comes from since I got the idea from Community, but rewatching the Christmas episode from this past year, the Glee episode. The first song where they Mr. Rad convinces Abed to get everybody into the Glee Club has some lines in it that I just can't stop thinking about, such as "Glee is the answer when questions are wrong," "Glee is the feeling you get when you're." The head finally lets its heart, let your heart get into its pants. And just, that whole episode is full of great musical, is full of great little musical bits, but that one really, really kicks it off.
A great, like, to me, Community is just unbelievable, of course, I agree with that. But sometimes to me, like, I feel like once in a while they get too clever, you know, it becomes too clever, and they kind of lose sight of being, you know, funny. So they want to be too clever and subversive. But Glee, and I think that's a rarity because I think they're, you know, more often they're hilarious. But that Glee episode is like extraordinary, you know, super clever, but you know, super funny too. Like,
yeah, and just, it gets funnier every time I see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so better. It's like, yeah. So that's the best of both worlds, and that's like the example to me. So like I've always thought when Community is hitting on all cylinders, it's the best thing you'll see on TV like that year, you know. And I love the invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know, hot edit at the end, you know, and I'm blanking. Help me out, Joel McHale's character. How come I can't remember his name?
Jeff.
So that when he does his little body snatcher thing, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, there's so yeah.
How do I not own a single season of that show?
I don't either. It's on Hulu, so I can just watch it whenever I want.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, but. the image would be better. It would have, you know, special features. So yeah, I don't know what
the commentaries are worth it. They're just as much, they're just as funny and entertaining as the shows are.
Nice.
Yeah,
I need to get around to that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I'll go next. Characters in a movie series or movie franchise that are wildly different from the start of their movie. So compare the character from the end of the franchise to the beginning of the franchise and how different they are sequel to sequel. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with Pinhead.
Oh, excellent. That is
choice.
A very good one. Yes.
So in the original Hellraiser, which is one of my top two or three favorite horror movies ever. So this guy comes out of nowhere with his buddies or whatever, going on these, saying these ridiculous, like, Shakespearean things
yes.
to people who are having their skin torn apart. And obviously, when this movie came out, I don't know, I was 13 years old. So this was very appealing to me. Over the years, and I've seen all, I guess there's nine now. And then the latest one was not Doug Bradley, so it was a big step down. The soliloquies stayed, but they got more and more and more absurd until he basically just came off like a drunk old British actor.
He didn't go fully like Freddy Krueger on us, did he? Like, did he become a parody of himself?
He didn't quite become a parody of himself, except, but just, you know, the whole movie became a parody of itself. So it would be more and more, the movies would be worse and worse, and he'd come out and do about the same performance, but was given lines to read as ridiculous as the movie is. So in that sense, he became a parody just like the movies did because they had no idea. Basically, it became a scenario where they just thought of the most esoteric things about death possible to say and forced him to say it.
Yeah, I mean, what about his pals, though, the Cenobites? How do they transition from sequel to sequel?
Well, the Cenobites in 1 and 2 are the same. But of course, they're all killed at the end of 2 by a jokey doctor, Cenobite, and that's where it goes crazy. 3.
They keep inventing new ones.
When they wind up inventing new ones, they wind up with ones that are. You know, it's funny. I don't know how much of wrestling fans either of you were in the early 90s, which is coincidentally when these movies were also coming out. But there were a lot of wrestling gimmicks that were jobs. So the Repo Man and the Goon was a hockey player and Duke the Dumpster Drozzy was a trash man, a sanitation worker. And that's how the Hellraiser – that's how the Cenobites became starting at about 3. So if your guy was a – if your guy that got turned was a DJ
– oh, yeah, right.
He would throw CDs at people.
That's right. That's my favorite.
And the cameraman – would zoom in on your face and go through it.
That changed pretty drastically. Like,
yeah,
because the simple thing too is, like in the first movie, they weren't the main thing, right?
No, like, they were only in about 10 minutes of the movie.
That's right. I mean, that made them like upsetting and. You know,
yeah, they show up at the
menacing.
Beginning. Yeah, they show up at the beginning and kill somebody, and they show up at the end and kill somebody, and the rest of the time it's people.
Right.
And it's way more interesting to have people killing people than to have monsters killing people.
Yeah. Right, that's true, because in the first movie, the Cenobites aren't good or bad. They're just kind of doing their thing.
If I'd seen the movie if in the last 2 or 3 years, I could have actually told you the quote that he says to explain himself, but it's basically that. And they made them basically like Freddy Krueger or whatever insofar as that they were out to get whoever by the end. But in the second one, they say specifically, it's not hands that guide us, it's intention. So the little crazy girl that they get to open the puzzle box to send them all to hell and get the whole finish doesn't get attacked because she's forced to do this. So, you know, they had some sense back then. And then by the next one, not so much sense.
That's a bummer.
I still watch them, whatever.
Let's see, we're at me. I guess an obvious answer would be Ellen Ripley, right, from Alien. She just starts out as sort of this, you know, every person, just this blue-collar worker. And, you know, she's just one of the crew, one of the gang. And, you know, that movie is definitely your basic horror movie, you know, set them up and knock them down one by one type of thing, where you've got a group of characters, the monster takes out, you know, takes them out one by one until he's the last survivor. And that was just sort of Ripley's role. And then, you know, in the second movie, she becomes this ultimate badass with the giant gun and the flamethrowers and everything. And then the third movie, she's bald and she's like, you know, whacking that guy in the head with a wrench. And she's the only one now who can stop the alien. And then she gets cloned, and then she's like psycho super Ripley with crazy powers. And so, yeah. So almost, I mean.
What do you think she peaked? What do you think her character peaked?
Well, it's hard to say because, I mean, one thing that's cool about the Alien movies, at least the first four, is that, you know, each one sort of has its own personality. You know, it's, you have a submarine movie, then you have a war movie, then you have a prison movie, and then finally you have a hospital movie. And, so each one's sort of its personality. But I would guess it would have to be, in my opinion, it would have to be Aliens, the second one.
Yeah.
A lot of people swear by Alien 3. I don't hate it, but I do think that it's flawed.
Yeah. I think the iconic stuff is happening in Aliens, you know?
Yeah. I would say for her character, it probably peaks in 3, but 3 is not my, 3 is probably my least favorite of the four movies, of the four first movies. So, but as her character goes, she probably feels most right to me in 3.
Mm-hmm.
Although 1's still just so badass.
Yes.
Well, I think I'll go with my obvious answer was going to be, I'm surprised you guys didn't grab it, but John McClane, you know, obviously, starting off in Die Hard, your everyman cop. With bloody feet, just trying to survive. And then he's riding fighter jets in the fourth movie. So, yeah, so take it as you will. But I'll do a bonus one, too. I was thinking Superman, I think, right? So compare Superman from the first movie to Superman 4. And basically, it's he becomes the dictator of the world in Superman 4, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
So there you go. So he's getting
addicted to cigarettes or
that's right.
Tobacco-laced kryptonite.
Tobacco-laced kryptonite. Yeah, and assuming he's banging bimbos on the Statue of Liberty's head, right?
Yeah,
I think that's the assumption.
I think if you were to take the story farther, that's where it would go.
That's where it would go.
Yeah. He's clearly got the same outfit on that he had yesterday.
<I know. laughs> that's probably my favorite. That's one of my favorite things in 3. How he's just he's evil or that's not really evil. He's just an a-hole, right?
He just kind of stops caring.
He stops caring. He's just a douchebag. He doesn't shave. I love that he just he's walking around in a dirty uniform. it's like we can't, you know, Christopher Reeve's performance isn't quite there. We need to add one more thing. So let's give him this filthy, homeless Superman uniform. And then in 4, he just decides to, you know, forget the democratic process. I am ridding the world of nuclear weapons. And there's really nothing anyone could do about it. So, yeah.
What was the villain's name in that, the supervillain?
Superman 4? Nuclear Man. Oh, yeah.
Nuclear Man, yeah, okay.
One of our favorites from the Friday Filibuster, played by Mark Pillow, an actor we sadly never saw from. Probably because his voice was dubbed over by Gene Hackman. So, yeah. So, hey, Mac, is this the second week in a row we've mentioned Mark Pillow?
I think so, yeah.
He came up in the fingernails discussion with Brett Cullen. Well, it is every other week, I'm not sure. But, yeah, so. Okay, Mac, finish us off.
All right, well, thinking about Judge Dredd and how he is a futuristic cop, what's some bizarre police technology?
And a quick digression. Have you guys seen the set photo of the new RoboCop?
Yes.
Yikes.
No, I have not.
Oh, man.
Off. That's right.
I'll have to go look.
Yeah.
It's Christopher Nolan's Batman outfit.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's.
I thought it looked like one of those putties from the Mighty Morphin. So, yeah. Okay, so awesome police technology, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the 80s cartoon Cops. Remember that? Cops?
Oh, certainly, yeah. You just stole mine.
Oh, nice. I can't remember his name, but he was awesome. The guns fell out of his chest, right? That was pretty awesome.
Oh, okay. That's not the one I was thinking of, but yeah.
No, it's got to be, right? The Cops, the animated show, right?
No, but you're thinking of a different character.
Different character, yeah. He was, was that like the Tommy Gun guy? And like, right, that was him, right?
That's right, yeah. He was a little...
Spilled out and he just blasted everyone with him, so... Right.
The character I was thinking of was like the main guy. He had the super handcuffs, which were at one hand, half was attached to his wrist, and then he would like lash out the other hand. It would be like a big long chain on it,
like
a whip, you know, and he would grab onto the bad guys as they're running away from him. I was wondering just how long is that chain, because he used to just throw that like all the way down the sidewalk to catch a running perp.
Nice. I actually reviewed that in 2006. Yeah, that's a... I remember watching that growing up and thinking it was just the coolest thing. Yeah, here's a quick roll call, Mac, okay?
Okay.
Hardtop, Mace, these are the Cops. Mirage, Longarm, that's what you're thinking of, right?
Yes, that's Longarm.
Highway, Barricade, Bullseye, Mainframe, Bowser and Blitz, Sundown and Bulletproof, I think was the main guy. Yeah, so pretty awesome.
And the femme fatale villain was Buttons McBoom Boom.
Yeah, Buttons McBoom Boom, right.
Wow.
COP stands for the Central Organization of Police Specialists.
And the tagline was, fighting crime in a future time.
Fighting crime in a future... Yes. Buttons McBoom Boom. That is... How is that not an adult film star name? Okay, very good. Ah, nice. That was on the same wavelength there. I love the... I love the titles of like the ridiculous episode titles of these TV shows. You know, those are always my, like, how about the case? let's see, how about the case of the bogus justice machines? The case of the baffling bug man. The case of the baby bad guy. What do you think that one's about? Oh, fantastic!
Do they all start with B?
No.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. Go ahead, Daryl.
I'm thinking.
Mac, did you have a backup?
Okay, let me think.
This is a pretty good topic, actually. Awesome.
Yeah, it's hard.
I mean, obviously, speaking of RoboCop, I always loved the gun in his thigh.
Yeah.
And then his little middle finger data jack thing, right? That's also right. Good for stabbing.
And did he have any other gadgets, or was he just ridiculously strong?
Right? I mean, it was just a gun.
Well, RoboCop 3 had the flying jump.
Yeah, it was flying around, but yeah, it was just really strong.
No. Yeah, I think he just had the gun and was strong and well-armored.
Yes, that was pretty much it. And like, yeah, the little middle finger he had.
Yes. jeez.
How about Demolition Man? Does that help? Is there any good stuff in Demolition Man, perhaps? Mm. Right. No, they didn't have really. They had lame cop technology, right?
Yeah, they had like the non-lethal weapons, the stun weapons. Yeah.
Although the design flaw being, if you stuck it the wrong way in your car, it set off a mini nuclear explosion. So, it's, a little design oversight. Although I did like, I always loved Demolition Man, that styrofoam, the foam airbag thing that gets set off the car, right?
Oh, right.
And Stallone says, "Oh, I feel like I'm in a cannoli."
The police, they did have their automatic, like, robotic anti-graffiti guns.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the graffiti drones fly down, they spray the gang sign in, like, an instant. And then up from the ground pops the little anti-graffiti guns that spray it off, and, like, a second later.
Nice. You're still stuck, Daryl? Because I'm thinking of other things, like the naked gun.
I think I've got
the naked gun, remember that?
That's true. Isn't that basically a RoboCop? It's where the wall paints them.
The wall paints them. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. That's
right. The Swiss Army shoe. Yeah, the Swiss Army shoe as well.
I don't know if this quite counts because it's more of a prison system thing, but the magnetic prison in Face Off.
Good one.
Oh, sure.
That totally counts, and that's an excellent one. You know, that movie was great because they never said it was in the future, right?
Right.
No,
the
not
technology
specifically.
Is just crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of like made it sound, hey guys, this is a real, this is happening. It's a real thing. Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
I believe the original screenplay for Face Off was in the distant future. It had, like, flying cars and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But they dialed all that stuff down and made it more contemporary.
Just made face replacement and magnetic prisms.
That's right.
Yes.
When I think Face Off, I think dialed down. They did, and also in the prison, they had the giant screens that showed nature programs, right?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Pacify everybody. Was that Face Off or was that something else?
No, it's Face Off. Giant, yeah, it's a giant. Because I remember when during the whole riot, it was, short circuiting and going crazy. So, now I have to watch Face Off again. Thanks a lot, Daryl. So, all right, that's it. That's the Friday Filibuster for us. So, thanks for tuning in. Friday Filibuster DVDverdict.com is our email. Thank you to Mac. Thank you to Daryl. Mac, take us away.
I'm going ghost.